Hey guys, this is Gabe Andrade, the lead pastor of Tree of Life Church. Our vision is to lead people to become all-in followers of Jesus Christ. Our hope is that this podcast inspires you to grow deeper in your relationship with God and others. Enjoy this message. Matthew 7:24 says this, and I'm going to read from the screen because I like the version that we're reading. It says this in Matthew 7:24. And let me just set this up. Jesus is preaching a message. It's a Sermon on the Mount, and it's really a series of messages. And it's the longest sermon recorded in Scripture, the Sermon on the Mount. So after he finishes this profound and beautiful message, he says, I hope that you're hearing what I'm saying, and I hope it doesn't go into one ear and out the other. So would you guys do this real quick? I don't want it to go out of that. That's the whole point. But what he's saying is, don't just be a hearer and not a doer. He says, everything that I'm saying to you, it will bless you. So let's read. The context here is, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them, see, it's not just hearing, but it's also doing, will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat on my house here in Texas for the Metroplex. You guys feel like this is timely? I mean, we had all that rain just a week ago. Let me read that again, because I got sidetracked with Texas weather. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock, because my primo built it. And so, verse 26. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. Jesus makes this this point, and great was the fall of it. Wow. Father, we thank you for your word. You may be seated. We're all building our lives. We're all building in some way or another. You're building your portfolio. You want to make sure that you're building towards the future, maybe saving some money, investing. You're thinking about, I need to have, you know, some savings. You're building something. Maybe you just got married and you're building a life together with someone. Maybe you plan to have children and you want to build a life with a family. Maybe you're single and you are thinking about building a career path. You're in school. You're educating yourself. You're building yourself up, your resume, your experiences. But we're all building. Maybe you're going to the gym and you're building up, you're building some muscle and some endurance, and you're exercising, you got the vitamins, and you're eating right, you're building up your physique. And so everyone is building towards something. Maybe you're building a following for yourself on social media or on YouTube, but we're all doing something. We're building a life for ourselves. And I think it's good to do those things. I think it's good to build your family, build some memories, take a vacation, build the house that you want to build, live where you want to live. I think it's good to do those things. Get an education, all the things that I mentioned. I think that's good, but don't neglect building your spirituality, a spiritual life. I think sometimes we get so focused on exterior things, on monetary things, on things that we can see. We get so focused on the temporary that we miss out on the eternal. So what Jesus is saying is Listen to what I'm saying. What is he saying? Because I was like, okay, listen to these words of mine. Hear these words and do them. What is he talking about? He's talking about things like the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So that's a part of what he was saying. He's also saying, don't build your life on lies. He says, broad is the path that leads to destruction. In other words, so easy to lose yourself. It's so broad to live a life that's selfish, that's self-destructive. It's so broad, but narrow is the path that leads to eternal life, and so few find it. Like, he's saying these things, but he also says in the same message, he says, don't be a critical, judgmental person, because you're sowing seeds of judgments and criticism. And so if you don't want to be criticized, if you don't want to be judged, you need to be merciful so that you can obtain mercy. Those are the messages that he's speaking of. And he's also saying, judge not, instead forgive. Instead of being known for judging, be known for forgiving. Forgive. I forgive. I'm generous in mercy. I'm not going to be generous in criticism. I'm not going to be generous in judgments. I'm going to be forgiving. Why? Because my Father has forgiven me. Therefore, I forgive you. See, he's saying all these things. He also says in the same message, he says, blessed are the poor in spirit. What does that mean? Because none of us want to be poor. But he's talking about humility. He's talking about having the understanding that without him, I can do nothing. In him, I live and move and have my being, that my very breath in my lungs is a gift from God. So the fact that I'm breathing right now, Bible says, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. So when I take a breath, it's a reminder, thank you. When I had COVID, I had some problems, and I would take a breath, and I just want to cough, and I felt like, but when I could breathe normal again and stop coughing, it reminded me how precious my lungs were. So Jesus is saying, bless all the poor in spirit, those that know that they came from a creator. And then he says, blessed are these. Are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. He's saying, listen to these words of mine. I want you to desire righteousness, because we all know what it's like to desire bad things. He says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. He says, I've come to purify your heart. You can't see God because your heart's not pure. And he says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So he's given them these messages that are so profound. And then he says, if you're going to give, don't boast. Don't be like, look at how much I gave to this charity or this church or this nonprofit. Look at how much I was able to give. I gave all this money. He says, don't boast about it. Instead, give it in private and glorify God, because he sees you when no one else does. He says, when you pray, don't be so boastful. And I'm just going to pray on social media because I know all the right words to say. You can do that if you want to, but where's your heart? What's the motive of your heart? God knows. But instead, pray in the secret space, place, room, closet where no one sees, because God is there. He sees you. And what you do in private, he'll reward you in public. But if you do it in public to be seen by others, Jesus said that's your reward, is impressing others. But how many of you know we don't impress God? But if you want to impress God, believe and have faith, because it pleases him. But the point is, Jesus is saying all these things, and he's saying, if you hear these words and do these words, you're like a wise builder. A wise builder. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord, deep reverence, fearing God, knowing that your life came from him, true fear is the highest form of respect. The fear of the Lord is the highest form of respect for God. That's the beginning of wisdom. The Bible says the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A wise builder has tremendous honor and respect for God. Okay. So he says, this person that's a wise builder understands that the foundation is key. If you're buying a house, you want to know, is the foundation good? Especially in Texas. When you buy a house, you're looking to see, are there any cracks on the walls? do the door shut. Right? You walk around the perimeter of the building and you want to see if there are cracks in the foundation, because you know that it's going to be very costly for you to buy a house that has foundation issues. And you don't catch it because the whole entire structure of the house is resting on this foundation. And Jesus says, a wise builder, he builds his life on such a solid foundation, solid rock. That's profound. That's good. I love that. Now, how many of you guys have maybe hired a contractor that just didn't do that good of a job? You know how that is? Where someone cuts corners, they don't go through all the proper guidelines, and they just shortcuts, and they leave you hanging, and the job is half done, and you're upset, and you've paid them your money, and you're thinking, you just didn't do that great of a job. What's going on? And so you're left with the mess, right? Jesus is saying, he's saying, be careful not to be a foolish builder. Be a wise builder and build on solid rock. Now, how many of you guys, when you hear the word the rock, be honest, how many of you think of Dwayne Johnson? Can you spell what the rock is cooking, right? The guy with a, I can't even do it. Do you know that Jesus is the original rock? What Jesus is talking about, he's saying a wise builder builds on the rock. He's talking about himself. But what does that mean? And see, in the Bible, the prophet Isaiah, 700 years prior to Jesus arriving, he speaks, and the oracles of God, he speaks of what is to come. So 700 years prior to Jesus arriving, it was said that Jesus was the rock, that he was the sure foundation, that he was solid. And let's read that. And this is profound, because they would look to scripture and they would say, what did the prophet say about the Messiah? Here's what it says in Isaiah 28:16. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am the one who has laid as a foundation in Zion, the city of God, which is Jerusalem, a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone. The buildings in those times, the foundation, it was all centered around the cornerstone. The cornerstone had to be right in order for the entire foundation to be right. Jesus is called the cornerstone of a sure foundation. Read this with me. Whoever believes will not be in haste. So Jesus is the rock. When Moses was in the wilderness with the nation of Israel, when they left Egypt, they were in Exodus. That's why the book is called Exodus. They were exiting Egypt. They were in the wilderness. God would sustain and provide and protect his people. And he was giving them not only physical food, but also spiritual food. And let's read this in 1 Corinthians 10:3. All ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. Read this. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ, Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the rock. Now, why is that important? Well, think about how hot it is outside, but think about being in a wilderness, in a desert, and there's no water and you're thirsty. Have you ever been so thirsty that you're just like, man, I just want a big Gatorade or something, right? They're so thirsty and there's nothing to drink, so they complain. We are thirsty, thirsty, we're dying of thirst. And God tells Moses, go and strike that rock that you see there. And I'm telling you, I don't know about you, but I've tried to strike a rock to see water would come out, just because it's in the Bible, right? And it never happened for me. So I'm thinking, how in the world does water come out of rock? But Jesus, I want you to know this, Jesus is a rock. So God was doing something with Moses, giving us a foreshadow of things to come, that when that rock was struck by the shepherd's staff, water would gush out and the people would drink from this water. And Jesus is saying, I am the rock. And when I am struck, Jesus is saying, water will gush out of me, but not just water that you drink, but spiritual water. That's why Jesus is known as the fountain of life. and that fountain that gives forth water unto everlasting life. And that's why Jesus would say, come and drink from me. Jesus is the rock. I want you to say that. Jesus is the rock. So Jesus is talking about himself. He's saying, build your life upon me, upon my beliefs, my ways, and who I am. Build your life upon this solid rock. Now, then he also says, but the person who hears these words but does not do them, I liken that person unto a foolish builder. Someone foolish. Someone who's careless. Someone who doesn't care about the details, the measurements. Someone who doesn't care about the structure or the foundation. He's a fool. Instead, he builds his dream home on sand. Instead, he builds a castle made of sand, thinking that he could live in it, and it wastes away. Foolish builder, he is selfish. He's deceived. He says, don't build your life upon sand. Now, I want you to think about this. What is it with kids collecting rocks? Anybody else have any kids in their lives that collect rocks? I mean, all my kids, they all love rocks. And my dad loved rocks too. And I mean, just yesterday, my daughter picks up this rock and she says, Dad, isn't this cool? And it's just a rock. And I'm like, yeah, wow, it's awesome. She goes, okay. The other day, we found a bunch of rocks in her backpack. I wonder, so heavy. She's just collecting rocks. And then my other child actually bought a rock, right? She bought a rock, Sayla. So rocks, kids love rocks. So what's this deal about rocks? Well, think about a rock. Think about a solid rock. Okay, you hold it. You can feel how solid it is. Okay. Think about sand, especially in Destin, Florida. Best sand ever. Think about the sand. I like sand. It reminds me of the beach. Kids like to play in sand too. Sand is fun, especially when you build something out of sand. Kids like to do that as well. I like putting my feet in sand, but you can't build your life on it. What's the difference between rock and sand? One is solid, one is not. They both have the same ingredients. They're both the same thing. The difference is you can't build your life on sand. What am I trying to say to you? Most every religion, every form of truth has deception in it. And though it sounds right, it's sand. Can't build your life on it. Jesus is saying, you're going to hear things that sound good, they're going to feel good, and you're going to be like, man, that sounds like truth. But if it has 10%, 5%, 1% of deception, is entirely deceiving. Sand. So Jesus is saying, you can't build your life on something that sounds true. Is it true? Now, why is this so key? Because a foolish builder, he builds his life upon lies. If you've ever heard this spoken over you, you're good for nothing, and you build your life upon that, you have built your life upon sin. I'm good for nothing. I don't matter. So what happens to a child, a kid, that hears the words, you'll never amount to anything, and he believes those words, and he lives his life to fulfill those prophetic, demonic words? He will live his life as if it doesn't matter. So if my life doesn't matter, why should I care? And if I don't care, no one else cares, then my life, for what, it's just whatever, right? If you've ever had suicidal thoughts, it's because someone lied to you. It could be because someone lied to you and said to you that you do not belong, that you are not special, that you're not valuable, that why exist in the first place? And if you build your life upon sand, there will be a day where the winds blow, the rain falls, and the flood comes, and there'll be a great fall. What about marriage? See, because everybody, we want to relate to somebody, we want to be loved by somebody, we want to be in relationship. If your relationship is not built on truth, if it's not built on what God says about marriage and the importance of it and what he intended for it, if your relationship is built on a rebound, it's built on convenience, casual just casual friendship with benefits, if your relationship is built on something of that nature, not truth, over time, the winds will blow, the rains will fall, and the flood will come. That's talking about just life in general. It rains, the wind blows, there's flood for the foolish and for the wise. Do you see it? The difference is, what did you build your life on? If you've been married longer than a year, you've felt some wind. If you've been married, I've been married 16 years. I'm a storm chaser now. Now I'm fascinated by him. I'm like, cool, there's some flood. Babe, come here, we gotta stand through this. Literally, literally, I'm Hispanic, y'all, okay? It's gonna come out here and there. I try so hard not to sound like I'm from Northside, but I'm from Northside. But seriously, when the sirens go off, like in my neighborhood, I say, kids, go in the closet under the stairs. I'm gonna go find out what's going on. Because I'm just fascinated by storms. I really am. The point is that if you've been married long enough, you're gonna have to stand. You're gonna have to stand. But what are you standing on? If you stand on the previous generation, in other words, if my parents didn't survive their storms, their floods, their winds, am I going to stand on that? Or am I going to stand on the one who can break every chain, every cycle? I get so emotional when I think about it because I have children and I want to leave them a legacy of marriage and not a legacy of divorce. Now, if you've ever been divorced, grace and mercy to you because there's circumstances, there are toxic people. I get it. There's abuse mentally, physically, and emotionally. And I don't believe God wants you to be abused by anyone. I get that. But my point is, I'm going to do everything in my power, everything in my surrender, everything in my humility and my honor to leave my kids a legacy of marriage. Some of you have been given a legacy of separation, of heartache, of broken families, and you know what that's like. You can't stand on that foundation. See, the lies that we stand on, maybe you've been hurt. You can't stand on that either. If you've been hurt, and we all have, but if you have trauma and you have hurt, and if you're living your life based on that trauma and that hurt, you're building your life on sand. You can't build your life on judgments. You can't build your life on fear. If you build your life on fear, you will go nowhere. It was difficult for you to come here because you're building your life on fear. And you have an anxious presence about yourself. You can't build your life on anxiety and on fear. Why? Because you are not God and you're trying to be. See, that's what Jesus is saying. If you seek to save your life, you're going to lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you will find it. Those are wise words from God himself that we build our lives on. See, he wants us to be wise builders because I'm telling you, when the wind blows and the rain falls and the flood comes and you lose a loved one, what are you standing on? When my father passed away, and I was 22. I'm 29 now. I'm joking. I'm 41. It was a flood, y'all. I felt like I was drowning. I felt like I was losing everything. My father, my pillar, my leader, my dad. I'm 22. I don't even know what it's like to be a man yet. I need my dad. He's my everlasting father. Though my mother or my father forsake me, the Lord will take care of me. That's Jesus. I was 29 years old and I went bankrupt because I was a builder and I was a foolish one. I was a literal builder. In 2008, 2009, the economy just boom, it flooded us. We drowned. We didn't make it. We were building single homes, duplexes and fourplexes for investors. And man, we just lost everything. And I was so anxious, I could barely breathe. I could barely breathe. I had a little girl. I was just recently married. My wife told me not to do it, not to go into business for myself. She was right. That was hard to say that. Because this is being recorded. She's going to replay that over and over again. She was right. What was I going to stand on? Jesus is my Prince of Peace. He is the God of peace. See, what are you standing on right now? It breaks my heart. The miscarriage. Oh, it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart to see good people go through bad things. What are we standing on? Is God still good even though people are bad? Absolutely. Absolutely. What are we standing on? Whatever you're going through right now, what are you standing on? What are you building your life upon? Is it solid? Is it the way? Is it the truth? Is it the life found in Jesus Christ? I'm going to read some sacred scripture for you, because these are not my opinions. This is my truth found in Jesus. The prophet Isaiah, 700 years again, approximately before Jesus arrived, he foretells of the one to come. The Messiah. He says this in Isaiah 59 verses 1. And this is written to the people of Israel, the nation of Israel. Jesus comes from Israel, from the Hebrews. That's where our faith comes from, Jerusalem and our Israel. So read this. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, nor his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But, there's a but here, but your iniquities, that means a lifestyle of sin, your iniquities have separated you from your God. This is the gospel. And your sins are hidden, have hidden his face from you. It's your sins, it's my sins, so that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. All of us have been connected to bloodshed in one way or another, even if it's in our ancestry, in our generations. And your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies. We've all told lies. Your tongue has muttered perversity. All of us have done that in one way or another. And this is what the Lord is saying. No one calls for justice. There's no one praying and calling for justice. Nor does anyone plead for truth. They trust in empty words and speak lies. They conceive. They give birth to evil. And they bring forth iniquity. So this is the problem. This is the foolish builder. This is the person building his life with a sinful nature. And we have to know that we are gardeners, we're farmers, we are planters. Whether you know it or not, your words are seeds, your thoughts are seeds, your actions are seeds, and we're always planting them. Here's what it says in Galatians 6:7. It says, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. See, I'm standing on this truth. You will always harvest what you plant. That's a scary thought. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. We all have a sinful nature. We lean towards selfishness. We lean towards sin because it's in us. But those who live to please the Spirit, this is the Lord, this is God, will harvest, think about this, everlasting life from the Spirit that God gives us, his Holy Spirit. That's building my life on rock. The truth is, most of us have built our lives on sand. And we come to the Lord because we realize my house is not standing. My family's falling apart. My marriage is falling apart. My mind is falling apart. My heart is in disarray. I'm so broken. I'm so hurt. My soul is, it's like I'm an enemy unto myself, like the enemy within me. My life is built on sand, and I feel the instability of it. Your greatest need, my greatest need as a human being, one of them is stability, security. You don't feel secure. Who can we trust? So Isaiah 59, in the same chapter, he gives us hope. He gives us the answer. He gives us the good news, the gospel. He says, 59:15 says, so truth fails, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. Then the Lord saw it. So God sees all of this, and it displeased him that there was no justice. He says, there's no justice. Who can pay for the penalty of sin? He sees that no one is worthy. There's no one that's blameless. There's no one that's perfect. God sees this, and he says there is a solution for the sins of mankind. And then he begins to speak this truth through the prophet Isaiah. He saw that there was no man who wondered that there was no intercessor. He says, therefore, hear this. This is the gospel. Therefore, God, his own arm brought salvation from himself, from him. And his own righteousness, it sustained him. Hear this well. God required a sacrifice for the sins of humanity. God became a human on behalf of humanity, and he was the sacrifice, and God was the one who received the sacrifice. This is the gospel. Only God could do that. We can't even fathom and wrap our minds around that. It's just mind-boggling. For, this is Jesus, for he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. I want you to think about this. Jesus went to war on your behalf to save your soul. The cross was his battleground. He came to defeat death and sin and overcome sin. And the helmet of salvation on his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal and as a cloak. 18. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies in the coastlands, he will fully repay. This is a prophetic word. Verse 19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun, which is the east. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, will lift up a standard against him. I want you to know this, and I want you to hear this well. If the floods are coming into your world, into your life, if the wind is blowing, if your house is falling, when you shift from building your life on sand to building your life on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, what happens is that the Spirit of the Lord raises a standard against the enemy, and that standard is Jesus. The only way to raise the standard of your life is to build on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. That rhymes. I didn't plan for it to. Verse 20, the Redeemer, this is Jesus, will come to Jerusalem, Zion, the city of God. And those who turn from sin, transgression, in Jacob, in Israel, says the Lord. Verse 21. As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant, this is my promise with them, meaning us. My spirit who is upon you and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants. This is beautiful. Nor from the mouth of your descendants, says the Lord, from this time and forevermore. Does that sound like the type of foundation you want to live your life upon? Build your life upon? Absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks for listening to the message of the week. Help us spread the good news of the gospel by sharing this message with friends and family. For more information, visit our website, treeoflife.church, or across social media at Tree of Life Church. See you next week.